today is your second full day of Yongnam Zhenjin. As you know, time flies. I'd like you to use your power of a constant practice throughout today. The power of a constant practice is over and over again, always fresh in this moment. You practice once again, and then and your practice, you shine through your true practice. I'll repeat. Over and over again. That is a this morning we'll be doing cleaning and breakfast, and then work practice in the afternoon, and so forth. Somewhere you lose your practice. Your Yongnam Zhenjin spirit can dissipate. But then, as soon as you become aware, then you bounce back. Some good practitioners, they even make vow of non-retrogression. It's this thing called a vow of a non-retrogression. So over and over again, you know, always, always fresh in this moment. You live from moment to moment. So the now, the power of now, this moment. And always fresh in this moment. And once again, you practice and you shine. Now, the late Robert Aitken Roshi, who had a chandra in Honolulu, Hawaii, he would say when he conducted retreats for lay people, he was a lay person too, lay teacher. He would say to them, the monks, both male and female monks, training in public monasteries and all that, they can group off because they've got lots of time. But you cannot group off, please. Because you are not a monk. You're a lay person, so you have a lot of things to do. You may have a family and job and all that. So in spite of all that, now you take 3 days or 5 days or 7 days. And we used to have, as Hadu Singh would recall, we used to have our retreat would be 7 days and once 10 days. And even introductory meditation course in those days was 10 weeks. No wonder no one survived. So that was when I was still fresh and new from the monastery. So dealing with the lay people was an awakening for me. So we're all lay people, lay teachers. So if your 3 days would be tantamount to 3 years in the monastery for the monks. So you cannot waste any time. So in other words, you have to do practice for 3 days or for 5 days, what would the monk, in what the monastics would do in 3 years or 5 years. So each moment counts here for you. And he also said the Buddhist movement in America is a laicization, which never happened in the long history of Buddhism. This is something quite new. That's why someone like Bhikkhu Bodhi, and he's a New Yorker, and then I think he had an illness or something like that. This is also a kind of Buddhist tradition. Sometimes you have doctors tell you that you have only 6 months to live, like, which is terminal this and that. So, wow, what should I do? I've just got 6 months. So I have to do something meaningful or something I could take it to, the king of the dead so that I could argue. You know, I did all these things. So I have to be reborn. I have to be reborn where trees are and birds sing and, you know, grasses grow or something like that. At least, born in human body again. That would be nice, right? And also another suffering. Now I lost my chain of thought. Where was I?
Bhikkhu Bodhi.
So he heard about a serious illness. So he was really interested in Buddhism. So he went to Sri Lanka and became monk there. So he was ordained as monk, and then apparently he recovered his health. So he lived there without ever returning, actually. Something like 30 years. So there, I think he worked for different, as a monk, good translator for Buddhist Publication Society over there and all that. And then recently, I think last year or the year before, he returned. Oh no, I think the first time, may not be first time, to his country and to his hometown and all that. So he's in New York. And then naturally he thought how Buddhism has been doing in his fatherland or motherland. And then he realized there's no real monasteries, as he understood, as he had in Sri Lanka. It's all kind of a lay teachers and lay group and lay practice. So he was so monastic over there, so he was very upset. Buddhism would not be able to survive in this fashion. I think he had some strong words to say about that. But someone like me, who has been in this country, mainly in Canada and US and part of Mexico, since 1967. So I have been around for quite a while. Nothing wrong with the lay Buddhist movement. This is fresh. And this is like almost the second Mahayana Buddhist movement, which we have never had in the long history of Buddhist movement. So It's the other way around. It's if a lay movement succeeds in spreading Dharma, which has advantage here, and then eventually, out of these lay communities, lay temples, there would be some people like to be monastic completely. So the other way around is in Korea, is because of the prohibition and the persecution, they all survived in the mountains. So if you visit Korea, all these beautiful mountains are monasteries are in the mountains. So from mountains now, they try to come down and then back to urban life to be in touch with the secular world. Well, this would be the other way around. From lay movement, later on, that's we like to have, there would be some monastics will be produced. Some people like to do it like in monastic ways. So the way I think we are doing is fine. But in the same vein, such a responsibility, we may not be always aware of this, perspective. But is that how we do as a lay group for lay world has big responsibility that comes with it, right? So even for that reason, we cannot group off. So each of us, somehow we have to become the light of a living embodiment of a Buddha Dharma Sangha.